Welcome back to the Deep Dive. You, our listener, you've given us another great stack of articles, this time all from ILoveTesla.com.
Yeah, quite a mix this time.
Absolutely. So get ready, because we're about to unpack, well, a whole lot. We're talking Tesla vehicle safety, how they're saving towns money.
Oh, the police car example.
Exactly. Then there's the legal stuff, Musk's other ventures, FSD advancements.
Tariffs, Starlink's global reach. Mm-hmm. Even missile defense is in there.
It's a lot. So our mission today, cut through the noise, pull out the key insights from these sources you sent, and hopefully give you a really clear picture of what's going on. Maybe spark a few aha moments.
Sounds good. It's striking how interconnected it all is, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's not just cars anymore. It's transport, public services, global comms, national security.
Totally. It shows how deep Tesla and SpaceX have woven themselves into, well, everything.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's kick things off with safety. Specifically, this lingering concern about electromagnetic radiation from EVs. There's still some, you know, FUD floating around online.
Right, the fear, uncertainty, and doubt. But we've got some actual data here from the China Automotive Research Institute.
Yes, and it's not Tesla saying it, it's independent research. What did they find?
Well, they found Tesla vehicles, especially the Model 3 and Y, have really low electromagnetic radiation levels. Lower, in fact, than things like electric blankets in your house.
That really puts it in perspective. Mm. And Tesla China's VP, Grace Tao, she basically called the harmful radiation claims misinformation, right?
Pretty much, yeah. The data shows the levels are below national standards, even WHO standards.
And the articles dig into why, don't they? The engineering behind it.
They do. Things like the centralized architecture, which means less wiring overall. Simpler design, fewer emission sources.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, they use shielded cables. Apparently blocks over 99% of the EM energy.
Wow.
And they even thought about where to put antennas outside the passenger area using low-power Bluetooth. They specifically consider people with pacemakers, too.
Okay, so that seems pretty conclusive on the radiation front. Good to clear that up. Now, let's pivot to something tangible. Cost savings. We have this great example from Bargersville, Indiana, their police department.
Oh, yeah. This is a fantastic real-world case study. The numbers are, frankly, stunning.
$70,000 to $80,000 a year in savings for one department.
Exactly. And over 5 years, that's nearly $500,000 back in taxpayers' pockets.
Incredible. Where is that mainly coming from? Fuel?
Fuel is a huge chunk, yeah. The chief mentioned something like $300 a month to charge the whole Tesla fleet.
Compared to?
Over $3,000 a month for just four of their old gas cars. Huge difference.
Okay, wow.
But it's not just fuel. It's maintenance, too. Brakes last way longer. Less overall upkeep, often under warranty.
And downtime. Less time in the shop.
Apparently so. Some repairs done in just 3 days. That's critical for police work.
Makes a strong case. The articles do mention challenges for other departments, though, right?
Right.
The upfront cost, infrastructure.
Of course. It's a big initial investment. You need the chargers. You need training. It's not plug and play immediately.
But Bargersville shows the long-term payoff can be massive. It's about weighing that initial cost against years of savings and other benefits, like efficiency and maybe public image.
Precisely. You need careful planning, but the potential is clearly there.
Okay, from budget savings to high-stakes legal battles. Elon Musk versus OpenAI, this seems to be heating up.
It is. Some former OpenAI employees actually filed a brief supporting Musk's side.
Really? What's the core argument?
It boils down to OpenAI's original mission. Musk says the current setup, especially the Microsoft partnership, violates the founding principle of being a nonprofit for humanity's benefit.
And the former employees agree. They felt that nonprofit aspect was key.
That's what their brief says, yeah. They argue the shift to a more profit-focused model undermines why they joined in the first place.
But OpenAI insists their mission hasn't changed.
Correct. They maintain they're still focused on benefiting humanity, just structured differently now. Musk, though, he's talking betrayal. Improper dealings after he left and put in all that early money.
So he feels the original vision got lost in the chase for profit, especially with Microsoft involved.
That seems to be the crux of it. The judge didn't grant Musk's initial injunction request.
But the case is still moving forward.
Yes, because the judge felt there were enough public interest concerns and potential legal issues to explore further.
What are the bigger picture implications here, beyond just Musk and OpenAI?
Well, it really questions if mission-driven tech companies can stay true to their ideals when big money gets involved. Does profit inevitably corrupt the original goal?
And it affects talent, right? People who join for the mission might leave.
Potentially, yeah. And it could influence research direction, too. Do you focus on immediate profit or long-term societal good? It's fundamental stuff about AI, ethics, and corporate governance.
Heavy stuff. Okay, let's shift gears dramatically. There's this slightly bizarre report about Musk using X to find potential mothers for a legion of children.
Yeah, that one definitely raised some eyebrows. The article suggests he's actively using the platform to connect with women, apparently driven by his concerns about declining birth rates.
Which he talks about a lot publicly.
Exactly. We know he has 14 kids acknowledged with four mothers, but this report hints there might be more. Someone called it harem drama.
Huh. And he's supposedly interacting with lesser-known users. There was mention of Ashley St. Clair and a child not publicly acknowledged.
The report mentioned that, yes. And it also talked about NDAs and financial arrangements being handled by Jared Birchall, his family office manager.
So it seems his public stance on birth rates might be driving some very personal actions.
That's the connection the report draws. Mm. His belief that population decline is a major threat, it seems very deeply held.
It definitely brings up some ethical questions, you know, wealth, power, influence, and personal relationships, and just broader questions about population strategies.
Absolutely. Power dynamics, the influence of wealthy individuals. It opens up a lot of complex discussions.
Okay, back to the tech side. Joe Rogan tried out Tesla's full self-driving. What was his take?
He seemed pretty blown away, actually. Rogan's a known admirer of Musk and Tesla, so maybe not surprising. But he praised its ability to change lanes, stop at lights, use blinkers. All autonomously.
But it's still supervised, right? Not fully autonomous yet.
Crucially, yes. The articles make that clear. The driver has to pay attention, hands on the wheel, ready to take over. There's a camera monitoring the driver.
Got it. So it's advanced driver assist, essentially.
For now, yes. Though Tesla keeps refining it, expanding the early access, and apparently a lot of owners are using it quite heavily on commutes.
And the robo-taxi plan is still moving forward. Austin launch soon.
That's the plan, according to the sources. Austin by June, maybe California and other cities later. That's where FSD really needs to shine lane changes, traffic lights, avoiding obstacles. Those features are key.
All right. Now let's talk tariffs. This whole situation with potential Trump tariffs being delayed. How does that impact Tesla and the Detroit Big Three?
Well, a delay could be a bit of a breather, actually. The proposed tariffs were pretty steep, 25% on imported vehicles. Plus more on parts.
Yeah, Dan Ives at Wedbush was critical, wasn't he? Said it could add thousands to car prices.
He did. He predicted major disruption, maybe up to $10,000 per vehicle. He suggested just targeting finished vehicles, not parts, to lessen the supply chain impact.
And Ives thinks Tesla is relatively well positioned compared to others because of U.S. production.
That's his take, yeah. More resilient because of the U.S. factories, even though they still import some parts. He's kept his $315 price target on Tesla.
But there's always the risk of China retaliating, right, if the U.S. imposes tariffs.
Absolutely. That's a huge variable. Automakers have to constantly juggle these global trade winds, assess price impacts, build resilient supply chains. It's complex.
Definitely a balancing act. Yeah. Speaking of balancing acts, Italy and Starlink, they're considering a big contract, but there's some hesitation.
Yeah, a $1.6 billion deal is reportedly on the table, but paused. It seems to be a mix of weighing the tech benefits against political concerns about Elon Musk himself.
Political concerns, like his U.S. political ties.
Exactly. Italy's defense minister stressed judging it on technical merit, but opposition parties are worried about tying national security to Musk. Plus, remember his comments about Starlink in Ukraine. That caused some friction.
Ah, right. Even though he clarified later it wouldn't be a bargaining chip.
Still, it made some governments uneasy. But apparently, the League Party in Italy is a big supporter of the tech itself, the secure comms aspect.
So Italy's stuck between wanting the tech and worrying about the politics.
Pretty much. It highlights this dilemma many countries face now adopting advanced tech that comes with geopolitical baggage.
Interesting dynamic. And sticking with SpaceX, what's this about them potentially building parts for a missile defense system? Trump's Golden Dome.
Yeah, this is ambitious. SpaceX reportedly proposing to work with Palantir and Anduril on a satellite network for missile defense.
A satellite network? How big?
Potentially huge. Hundreds, maybe over 1,000 sensing satellites, plus hundreds of attack satellites with missiles or lasers.
Wow. And SpaceX is suggesting a subscription model for this. The government pays for access.
That's the proposal, yeah. It's different from traditional defense contracts. Could mean faster deployment, maybe.
But less direct control for the Pentagon. And ongoing costs.
Exactly. That's the debate. Faster deployment versus long-term cost and control. It could really shake up defense contracting if it goes ahead.
Okay, let's bring Starlink back down to Earth. They're trying to get into the Indian market.
Actively pursuing it, yes. High-level meetings with government ministers, talks with major carriers like Bharti Airtel and Jio.
What's the goal there?
Primarily expanding internet access, especially in underserved rural areas where traditional infrastructure is tough to build. Starlink's perfect for that.
But regulatory hurdles are a thing, right?
Yeah.
Especially in India.
Oh, definitely. Data storage rules, security compliance. They need full approval by November 2024. And it's a super competitive market already.
So, big potential, but big challenges too.
For sure. If they succeed, though, it could be transformative for internet access in India.
And they just launched somewhere else too, didn't they? Somalia.
They did, yeah. After about 2.5 years of negotiations.
Long time.
It was. But now they're live. The hope is it dramatically improves internet quality and reach, especially outside the main cities where it's currently spotty and expensive.
So another step in their global expansion, trying to bridge that digital divide.
Exactly. Following launches in places like Brazil, of course, affordability and logistics in Somalia will be challenges, but the potential impact on education, business, communication, it's huge.
It's interesting seeing Starlink operate on these different levels. Huge government deals and basic access in underserved regions.
It really shows the scope of their ambition. Cutting-edge tech with both massive commercial and potentially humanitarian applications.
Okay, let's swing back to Tesla cars. The 2025 spring update is rolling out. What's new?
Quite a few things. Adaptive headlights are finally coming to the U.S. and Canada. That's a big one for night driving.
Better visibility without blinding people.
That's the idea. Also, newer Model S and X get the blind spot camera feed right on the driver's screen now.
Oh, handy. And the dash cam?
Upgraded now includes side camera views on newer models, so you get a much wider recording range. 6 views total.
Nice. Anything else major?
Updated trip planning. You can choose routes based on speed, amenities, or fewer charging stops. Cybertruck gets a comfort drive mode in autopilot and lane departure avoidance.
Little tweaks too, like trunk height settings.
Yeah, custom trunk heights, option to avoid highways and navigation, more language inputs, keeping accessory power on after you leave.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of quality of life improvements.
Just constantly tweaking and improving via software.
It's definitely one of their big advantages.
And speaking of software, FSD Unsupervised seems to be getting used more, at least internally, at Giga Texas.
Yeah, reports suggest driverless Teslas are becoming more common there. Tesla's AI team even shared video of cars moving themselves around the factory.
Any sense of scale? How much driverless driving?
Over 50,000 miles logged between Fremont and Giga Texas, apparently. That's significant testing mileage.
And they're using it on brand new cars off the line, Model Ys, Cybertrucks.
And so, moving them around the site autonomously. There's a demo of a Model Y navigating a complex route, and observers have seen them too.
So progress is definitely happening behind the scenes, even if the consumer rollout is still pending.
Exactly. It suggests they're getting closer, building confidence in the system within their own operations first. Maybe a wider release later this year isn't out of the question.
Feels like we're inching closer to that autonomous future.
Slowly but surely. The data collection and real-world testing in controlled spaces like Giga Texas are essential steps.
Okay, shifting to something more immediate for potential buyers. Cybertruck discounts. They've gotten bigger.
They have. Up to $10,550 off some inventory units in the U.S. now. That's up from around $6,000 before.
Even on the Foundation Series?
Yep, $10,000 off the Foundation Series, plus free lifetime supercharging, which is a pretty big perk.
Trying to move inventory as production ramps up, presumably.
Seems like the logical move, yeah. Boost demand, clear out stock. They also introduced that new, cheaper rear-wheel drive version.
Right, about $10 less than the AWD?
Roughly, yeah. But you lose the air suspension and the rear screen, a trade-off for the lower price.
But still, the Cybertruck is the top-selling electric pickup.
According to the reports, yes. So these moves seem aimed at broadening its appeal even further.
Makes sense. Now, this next one's interesting. A report about internal disagreement over the robotaxi plan. Musk supposedly dismissed analysis showing potential losses.
Yeah, this suggests some friction internally about the best path forward. The analysis apparently warned about regulatory hurdles, competition, maybe lower returns than just selling cars.
And some execs argued for focusing on a cheaper 25K car instead.
That's what the report claims, yes. People like Daniel Ho, Drew Boglino, Franz von Holzhausen, arguing for a more conventional, potentially more profitable path in the near term.
But Musk overruled them, sticking firmly to the robotaxi vision.
Apparently so. The report hints at concerns about, well, maybe sycophancy influencing decisions, and whether the intense focus on AI is causing talent drain or slowing down other vehicle launches.
And worries about the actual business model, margins, capital efficiency compared to just selling cars.
Right. It raises questions about balancing that huge, potentially transformative robotaxi bet against more immediate market realities and financial stability.
And those tariff issues might be hitting these plans directly. A report says Tesla froze parts orders from China for the Cybercab and Semi.
Yeah, this looks like a direct consequence. The tariffs on those specific parts apparently jumped from 34% to 145%.
Ouch.
Exactly. The report says Tesla could handle 34%, but 145% makes sourcing from China impossible for those parts.
So that impacts the Cybercab, which was meant for the robotaxi fleet.
Potentially delays it significantly, yeah. Though the report notes Model 3 and Y are also part of the Robotaxi plan, so maybe that softens the blow a bit.
And the semi-truck.
Volume production was planned for 2026 anyway, with some initial production in Nevada sooner. But this parts freeze could still cause ripples. It's not the first time tariffs have disrupted their China supply chain.
So, real-world impact of trade policy hitting future product roadmaps. Tesla hasn't confirmed this officially, though.
Not according to the sources, no. But it's a credible report given the tariff situation.
Okay, hopping over to Sweden, the union strikes over supercharger stations are still ongoing.
They are, yes. FS Metal and the sympathy strikes are continuing. Tesla, meanwhile, just opened two new supercharger sites anyway.
How'd they manage that with the strikes?
Reportedly by using foreign companies, which, as you can imagine, didn't go down well with the unions.
I bet. And there was that odd incident with the local power company, Telgenet.
Right, they accidentally connected the new chargers, then had to apologize to the unions and promise it wouldn't happen again. It showed kind of this underlying respect for the Swedish labor model, even amidst the dispute with Tesla.
Interesting. A clash of labor cultures playing out.
Very much so. Highlights the challenges of operating globally with different norms.
Now, some more disturbing news. Vandalism and arson attacks targeting Tesla locations in the U.S.
Yeah, this is really serious. A suspect was charged for firebombing two places in New Mexico, including a Tesla store. High-level federal officials are involved.
Looking at significant charges.
Potentially up to 40 years, based on the malicious destruction charges. And it wasn't just firebombing. The Albuquerque store was vandalized with Nazi symbols, threats against Musk.
Horrible. Did they find evidence linking the suspect?
Yes, incendiary devices and matching spray paint at his home. Some are calling these acts domestic terrorism because of the apparent political motivation tied to Musk.
And this isn't isolated. There have been other attacks globally.
Unfortunately, yes. Reports mention similar incidents in Vegas, Rome, Washington. It points to a worrying trend.
A really concerning development, highlighting the risks in today's polarized climate.
Definitely requires heightened security and vigilance from Tesla and law enforcement.
Okay, circling back one last time to tariffs. Dan Ives at Wedbush, besides thinking Tesla's resilient, had any other thoughts?
Well, he reiterated his belief that Tesla's best positioned among automakers to handle the potential Trump tariffs, sticking with that $315 price target.
Despite the imported parts issue we discussed.
Despite that, yes. He sees their U.S. base as a key strength, but he also stressed how crucial China's reaction will be, and that the next few quarters are critical for Tesla Austin ramp up autonomous tech progress.
Did he mention the potential brand impact of Musk's politics again?
He did, yeah. Raised concerns about potential damage in Europe and the U.S., and even suggested Musk might benefit from stepping back a bit from politics to protect the brand.
So economic resilience versus potential political brand headwinds.
That seems to be Ives's view, balancing the operational strengths against the external perception factors.
Finally, there's one more legal issue. A class action lawsuit about odometers, alleging manipulation.
Yes, this is a new one. The claim is that Tesla's odometers aren't just tracking miles, but using algorithms that might inflate the mileage, causing warranties to run out early.
Inflated mileage? How?
The lawsuit alleges it's algorithm influence, not purely distance driven. The lead plaintiff says his Model Y showed way more miles than expected, leading to out-of-pocket repair costs he thinks should have been covered.
And the suggestion is this pushes people to buy extended warranties.
That's part of the claim, yeah, boosting service revenue. It's not the first time Tesla's faced lawsuits over vehicle specs, like range claims.
And this could affect a lot of cars in California.
Over a million, potentially. The case is now in federal court. Tesla denies the allegations generally, but hasn't commented specifically on this suit yet. It definitely raises questions about transparency and how vehicle data is used, especially concerning warranties.
Hmm.
Want to watch.
Absolutely. Okay, thinking about the future, despite all these challenges, the potential of FSD, especially unsupervised, remains huge, right?
Oh, undoubtedly. If they achieve true level 4 or 5 autonomy, it's revolutionary. The testing at Fremont and Giga Texas, moving cars without drivers, that's the groundwork.
And the plan is still for an initial rollout in Texas and California this year, regulations permitting.
That seems to be the target. Even FSD supervised, as it exists now, the argument is it eases the driving burden, especially on commutes or long trips, even if you still have to watch it.
Critics might argue it's still stressful having to supervise, but Tesla claims it's less taxing overall.
That's their position. And its ability to handle complex city streets, not just highways, is a key part of its development, making even supervised use potentially more useful.
And Musk is still optimistic about cracking FSD relatively soon, by 2025.
He seems to be, yeah. That 2025 timeline is a bit of a shift from some earlier end-of-year predictions, but reflects continued confidence. Recent versions have shown impressive progress in tricky situations.
And the robotaxi fleet development is central to this.
Absolutely. Tesla even hinted on X about future cars potentially driving themselves home from delivery centers.
Ambitious, but the initial rollout will still be limited geographically.
Most likely, yes. Starting in places like Texas and California, where they're working through the regulatory steps. Meeting that 2025 goal, or getting close, feels pretty critical for their whole strategy now.
Wow. Okay, that was a lot. A true deep dive. We went from radiation safety and police car savings all the way to global tariffs, AI lawsuits, missile defense, and the future of driving.
It really covers the spectrum. Innovation, finance, legal, ethical, geopolitical. It's all tangled together with Tesla and SpaceX. And the constant thread is that relentless push towards FSD.
And remember, these insights came directly from the sources you provided. Hopefully this helps you cut through the noise and get right to what matters.
A shortcut to staying informed on a fast-moving story.
So here's a final thought for you to chew on. With everything we've discussed, all the tech leaps, Musk's huge ambitions across so many areas, what stands out to you as the biggest potential game changer we talked about today? And maybe more importantly, what do you see as the biggest hurdles still standing in the way?
Good question to ponder. And hey, if you've got your own stack of sources you want us to tackle, send them our way.
We'd love to do another personalized deep dive just for you. Thanks for joining us.